Amen. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, not only in giving, but for prayer, for reaching out, touching other lives. I know some churches are struggling during the COVID financially in other ways. We are not, because of your hearts. Because of what you're doing in God, the work of God just continues to flow. Would you stand for the reading of God's word this morning? I just want to add to what Brother Steve said earlier about following the guidelines. There's several churches in our area that had to shut down because people got infected with COVID. I don't want to shut church down. Amen? So I'm going to do whatever I can. And like Brother Steve said, whether you think it works or it don't, we're going to do what they're telling us to do and do the best we can, because I want to keep worshiping God. I want to keep serving the Lord. I want to keep doing God's will. And so far, we've been good. We've had a few people touched by it, most of them on their jobs before they got here. We've had a few people go on vacation that we've had to ask to quarantine for 14 days because they've went to places that have COVID. But I'm going to keep you as safe as I can. I'm a shepherd and you're the sheep. I want you fat and happy. Aren't you glad? Amen. I have a message I want to share with you today that, you know, I heard, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill or A.W. Tozer, one of them said this one time. He said, "Preacher, if it doesn't burn in your heart, it ain't going to burn in anybody else's." And what he's talking about is that burning. Remember when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection? Those two guys didn't recognize him, and he started sharing the word. And when he left their presence, they said, "Man, didn't his word just burn in our hearts?" Well, I'm telling you, God gave me something that set my heart on fire this week, and I'm going to pray it does yours too. From Joshua chapter 10, verse 11, it says, "And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died." When God wants to hit you with a rock, he isn't going to miss. You know, people every once in a while they'll say to me, God's going to get you. I said, "Man, if he was, you'd be got." "There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword." And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about the weapons of the Lord. Would you bow your heads? Now, Brother Steve did a good job praying again, but I want to pray too. I like talking to Jesus myself. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And Father, we thank you that our lives are hid in Christ. That God, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This world tries to touch us. It tries to bring us down, to pull us down, to trample on us and trample us under. But God, you lift us high above it all. High above it all, Lord God. And you are the rock that is higher than I. And I pray, oh God, that as you touch my heart this week, help me to deliver this message as you spoke it to me sitting in front of that computer screen, Father. And Lord, I pray that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, that we'd be able to see the height, the depth, the width, and the riches of Christ's love today. God, that people's hearts would be encouraged and strengthened and be able to go out and leave this place today saying, not only is it good to be in the house of the Lord, but thank God I am covered in the full armor of God. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name for all things are yes and amen and ours in Christ Jesus. And everybody in agreement with that prayer said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have all of you with us this morning. The weapons of the Lord. There were five kings that set out, they joined together to destroy Israel because Israel had made a covenant with Gibeon. And they had actually come to attack Gibeon and then they were going to turn on Israel. And Gibeon asked Joshua through the covenant that they had made if they would come and defend them against these five kings. And as I shared with you last week, Israel was way outnumbered. The weapons that these kings had, the chariots, the horses, everything, they were more than equipped from human standpoints to annihilate not only the people of Gibeon, but Israel as well. but God. But God. God is always greater than anything that you're going through, anything that you experience, anything that's going on in this world. God is greater than. In fact, I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but there is a name that God is called in Scripture, and it is Almighty. You know what that means? That means He is stronger and mightier than anything, anyone, anybody, anywhere. He is Almighty. And He is still in control. Now, Joshua and the Israelites were going to defend these people against these kings. They were out to do something good. And you would think that when people are out to do good things, that good things would happen to them. But how many of you know their good always has enemies in this world? Good is never the easy thing to do. It is not like water. It doesn't take the path of least resistance. We live in a world that is fallen. The creation is under the curse of sin. We have an enemy that is real. Somebody asked me what to say to an atheist before church started. They want to try to give him a Bible. I just thought of something. Tell him, I know you don't believe in God, but do you believe in the devil? Because he's real too. And he don't care whether you believe in him or not. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what is happening here. The Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing. There's a reason it says that. It's a lot of work most of the time to do the right thing, to do the good thing. It's harder to do the wicked thing because you're going to pay a greater price. But good always has enemies, and Joshua had enemies. Gibeon had enemies. And I want to read some scripture to you. It says, and the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua to camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the warriors with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, always need a word from the Lord, don't we? No matter what we're doing, the first thing you need to do is seek the face of the Lord and get a word from the Lord. And you can probably find it in the book. But if you can't, ask him anyway. Say, God, show me. Help me to see the right thing. Give me a word. This was the word to Joshua. Do not fear them, for I have given them into your hand. There shall not a man of them stand before you. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having gone up from Gilgal all night. I could preach all day on that word suddenly right there. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. Suddenly God's servant came to the kingdom. Suddenly, you might think God isn't seeing, God isn't watching. You might even think he's late sometime, but I can tell you most of the time, very suddenly, he shows up. Yeah, that's not my sermon today, though. And the Lord caused the enemies to panic before Israel, who slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goes to Beth Horon and smote them as far as Azekah and Makeda. And the scripture tells us that when Joshua and Israel had done all that they could do, then the Lord got involved. It says, as they fled before Israel while they were descending the pass, Israel had chased them into a hole so God could throw rocks at them. To Beth Horon, the Lord cast great stones from the heavens on them as far as Azekah, killing them. More died because of the hailstones than the Israelites slew with the sword. Good always has a hard time in life. But this is what I want you to get today. But both heaven and everything on earth are against the enemies of right. They are. But they also, all the power in heaven and all the power on earth, are against the enemies of God. That's what I want you to see today. See, this army that had outnumbered Israel, they had not only to fight against Israel and the sword of Joshua, they had to fight against God himself. And God used the things on this earth. He used hailstones to wipe them out. Heaven and earth are on your side. I know some of you are worried about elections and you're worried about politics and everything else, but I'm telling you, everything in heaven and everything on earth is against the enemies of God, and God will use them. If you escape one, you're going to have to deal with the other, and you're going to fall under the power of the other. Now, you're going to see that before we're done today. I'm telling you, every power in heaven that is God stands on the side of right, and every power in earth stands. I'm talking about the planet. I'm talking about the weather. I'm talking about the stars. I'm talking about the moon. I'm talking about everything that exists in this thing is against evil. It's on your side. It's on your side. Think about the earth for a minute and ask yourself what we as human beings can do with it. We try to tame it, but we can't. We try to tame the earth. We try to tame everything. In fact, God told us in the Garden of Eden, he said, go and have dominion over the earth. And we've been trying for thousands of years, and we still can't control hardly anything in it. We think we can. We think we can control everything on it. We pick at it with iron and instruments. We try to figure it out with temp gauges and barometers. But it laughs at us. Think about the poor farmer. He'll go out this year and he'll decide he's going to plant a certain crop, and he'll go out and work and plow and move, and this year it'll grow, and he thinks next year I'm going to go out and do the same thing, and the ground says, hey, I'm bored with that. I'm tired of that. I ain't growing that this year. Right, Steve? Steve grew up on a farm. This planet, I never realized this before. This is a revelation I got this week. This planet is against evil, and God is against evil, and he uses it. In fact, I want to read something to you because I want you to realize how much God is in control. I made some of you a little fuzzy in the head last week and a little confused because I talked about how God is in control of everything, and yet you and I have human will and we can make decisions and we decide and everything isn't set. And some of you scratch your head and say, how can it be both? I shared with you last week, this is the way it's both. God has set certain things into play, laws of nature, laws of this creation. He allows us to make choices and to move in any direction that we choose to move. But as his children, if we get out of his overall plan, his larger plan, he steps in and intervenes. I called him last week miracles when he does that for you and I personally. How many of you ever wondered, have you ever stopped and, you know, when you hear that there's a hurricane that hit this part of the country and X amount of people die, how many of you ever have the thought, well, I wonder if God is judging them? Do you ever ask yourself, who's in control of the weather? You know, is every catastrophe, the problem I have with that, I ask myself that question at times, but then I think, well, are they more evil there than we are here? It's kind of like that other question I talked about God wanting to get you. If it was God, every time there was a hurricane or an earthquake or something else that happened in the world, we'd all be dead. We'd all be dead. But yet, just like will and volition and God being in control of the plan of the ages, the weather works the same way. God's put certain laws. We've got weather that's a mess right now. It's a mess on the ground. It's beautiful in the sky. How many of you have noticed the cloud formations over probably the last 2, 3, maybe 5 years? I'm getting old. If I think 5, it's been 10 probably. The cloud formations that we have around here right now are gorgeous, but we never used to have those. It never looked like that. The sky did not look like that. And some of it we're causing. We're causing by the way we abuse things and misuse things and, you know. You can deny global warming all you want to. And let me say this in case you're visiting me today. I'm not a tree hugger. That's a lie. I hug trees sometimes. But you know what I mean when I say that. I'm not a tree hugger. But I mean, if you're still denying global warming, you have a better AC unit than I do, I can tell you. I mean, it's hot. And it's getting hotter. I bought an $800 snowblower 2 years ago. I didn't get to use it at all last winter. We had one snow that winter, and we didn't have nothing last winter. I don't care. That's good insurance. I don't care if it ever snows. I don't. Maybe Christmas Eve. But the thing is, there are times when God steps in and takes over the weather. There are times when it is judgment. There are times when it is a weapon in the hand of Almighty God. Not all the time, because he's letting you and I have dominion. He's letting us do some things, but he's got a big plan that he's keeping on track. And I want you to know that he uses the weather all the time. It's one of his weapons, and you don't have to take my word for it. I'm going to read it to you here in a minute. But I want you to understand that. It's not his fault about everything, but there are times when he does step in and intervene. Now, there's a big crack on the west coast of our country. It's called the San Andreas Fault. And I'm thinking if most of them people out, not all of them, there's good Christian people out there too, but if most of them people don't straighten up, he's going to let that thing crack one day and just slide it out in the ocean. That's what he's going to do. Done. I want you to listen to this. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. None of that going on in our day, is there? Leaders and rulers, we don't want God. We don't want anything to do with God. We don't want anything to do with your Bible. We don't want anything to do with your prayer. We don't want anything to do with anything that the Bible says. You all are a problem. Here's God's answer. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall hold them in derision. See, I know you guys and girls, a lot of you worried about everything right now. God's got this. God has got this. One thing I see both through Scripture and through history, God lets the wicked play around for a while. Why? Because he's trying to get some of them saved. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But when it gets as bad as you think it's going to be, he steps in, he intervenes in all of history. Right always wins. Not always in the beginning. Sometimes wickedness prevails for a while. Sometimes a few weeks. Sometimes a few months. Sometimes it's years. But God lets it go so far and then he reins it in. He's going to do it again. Either that or Jesus is going to split the sky and take us all home. But either way, we win. Either way, we win. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. He's looking at our politicians right now, and he's looking down, and he's going, they think they're in charge. Look at them. Look at that one. I don't remember the name of it, but there was a movie years ago where Shirley MacLaine was standing on a beach, and she's yelling at God because she's an atheist and don't believe in him. And some Christian comedian did a skit one time, I wish I could do. He said, picture this from God's view, this little speck of a thing standing on the beach squeaking like a mouse, telling God, I don't believe in you. God laughs. He laughs, and we think we got it all, you know, we're this, and we're that, and we're the other thing, and we're going to do this. He who sits on the circle of heaven laughs. You know why? Because he has so many weapons. so many weapons. Think of an engine on a train. How much power? If you ever get stopped down here at the end of Hopewell Road in the daytime on one of them trains that's doing about 3 miles an hour and it's got 670 cars on it. The thing that amazes me, it usually only has one or two engines on it, and I think, man, the power in that thing. You know what God can use to stop that? A snowflake. Lots of them together. But a little bitty, stinking snowflake that you can put on the end of your finger and it's gone. He can bring a whole bunch of them together and stop a locomotive. He does it all over the world all the time. In World War II, the Germans, as wicked as they were and had their plans, they started World War II with something called the Blitzkrieg. You know why? Because they were ahead of the technology race. They mechanized their army. When they decided to go into Poland, they just went in and took it over. And they decided after they got in there, we're going to take France. And you know what France had when they come out against them? Now, Germany had tanks. They had all kind of armored vehicles and land cruisers. And what they would do is they'd just come running in with all that mechanized army, and they'd have their army, the men on the ground behind it. They'd just bulldoze over everything. France came out. They were still fighting with horses and wagons and World War I rifles. And they fell very quickly, too. It looked like Hitler and his army were going to take over the world. If I'd have been a Christian back in that day, I'd have said either Jesus is coming or Hitler's the Antichrist. Because every time something bad happens in the world, we turn somebody into the Antichrist and, you know, Jesus is coming. That's right. You say, you mean he isn't coming? He might be here before this church service is over. You need to be ready all the time. You know, even before COVID, you needed to be right with God, walking in the light, living for God with all your heart. But Hitler was trying to take over the world, and it looked like he would. You know what God used to stop him? Snow and mud. Snow and mud. Snow and mud. Hitler said, I want all of Europe. I'm taking Russia too. God said, I got snow and mud. I'll show you what those tanks can do, what those cars can do. See, for about 3, 4, 5, maybe 10 years, it looked like wickedness was going to prevail forever. But God stepped in with snow and mud. We've had times in my lifetime where with all the atomic missiles and ballistic missiles and cruisers and battleships and A1 M1s and all the other stuff, we couldn't shoot a firecracker off. Why? Because God's in control. Ultimately, God is in control. He just lets things go as far as we'll take them for a while. And then he steps in and intervenes. Say, Pastor Ken, you've had way too much time to think about this stuff. See, the weather is a weapon of God. All of it. All of it. All of it. I would venture to say God's probably used the weather a few times to save your life and mine. He's intervened. And I didn't know the only weapon he has. All things fight for God. The hailstones are his friends and his allies. The stars in their course beat and throb according to his purpose, and they express his intent. See, God has a plan that will not be thwarted, ever. And it's going to run its course. The lightning bolts are his arrows, and thunder are his cannons. My mom used to say the angels were bowling when it thunders. Yeah, I said, Mom, I think one of them just got a strike. The bad cause really has no friends in this world or the next. That's why I'm trying to tell you, you need to be on the right side of things. People say, I'm not reading the Bible, and especially the book of Revelation, it scares me to death. Well, get right with God, and it won't. It'll put a song in your heart. You'll say, God Almighty, thank you that this place isn't the only place that there is, and thank you that I'm going to a better place one day, and thank you, God, that you are in control of my life and watching over everything that's happening to me. I'm glad you're shouting, man. You ought to shout on that. The bad cause has no friends. Now, I don't want you to just take my word for all this, because you say, Ken, you just had too many cookies, you know. Psalm 104, listen to what it says. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Who cover yourself with light as with a garment. Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Who lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters. Who makes the clouds his chariot. Who walks on the wings of the wind. Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Hallelujah. They're on your side. What I'm trying to say to you today is what Elijah said to his servant when they were standing on the mountain and the enemies of Israel were coming after them. And the servant said, Elijah, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, God, open his eyes so he can see all these angels and these armies of the Lord that surround us. Amen. You covered the deep, verse 6, as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You've set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field and the wild donkeys. Quench their thirst. You know, there are whole flocks and herds of animals out here that nobody takes care of except God. And you are of more value than many sparrows, Jesus said. Don't you think God's going to take care of you too? He said, by them the birds of heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. I like birds. I do. We got a pair of doves that sits on top of our chimney and sings every morning. They sit up there and coo, and we're like, man, I'm like, God, thank you for the peace that passes all understanding and for the birds that sing on my fireplace. He who waters the hills from his upper chambers, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth. And wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it's night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey, and they seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together, and they lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your possessions and weapons. This great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you've made to play there. You know what a Leviathan is? Nobody does. We just know it's some kind of really big thing that's in the ocean. Some people think it was a whale. Some people think it was some big shark, mega shark. We don't know what Leviathan really was. But we know it was big. It says there are ships that sail about there, and you've made the Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand and they're filled with good. You hide your face and they're troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, he's in control of it all. You think because he lets you play with it once in a while and you mess it up that he's not in control, but he is. He'll even let you and I mess up for a while and he'll intervene. He'll come in and he'll take over because he loves you so much. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he takes care of you. Oh, how he watches over you. Oh, how he is in control of it all. God is in control and the wicked lose. Always, Chris. Always. Always. You say, well, they look like they're winning now. It's temporary. It's temporary. He's a God of mercy and grace and long suffering, but they will lose if they persevere in their wickedness. That's why you better make sure you're on God's side. And if you're on God's side, you're going to learn to walk in harmony with him and his laws. Now, I don't know what they do to people in some of these liberal colleges. They give them some kind of frontal lobotomy and turn them into stupid people. And if I were to stand up here today in a crowd, you know what's those people I'm talking about. You know, they know how to send rockets to the moon, can't walk across the street by themselves. But if I were to stand in front of them today and say, you need to be in tune with nature and the universe, and you need to go, they'd say, wow, that's heavy stuff. We need to do that. Now, if I lift up a Bible in front of them that's the Word of God Almighty who created heaven and earth and everything in it, and I say, you know what? If you live by this, you'll be in tune with all of nature and all of the universe to come. They say, I don't want that. That's religion. You trying to cram that stuff down my throat? Well, go ahead, stupid. You're educated beyond your intelligence. The God of the universe. And see, what I'm trying to get at is this. If you'll listen to what he teaches you in that word, you'll get in tune with all of that. Every bit of it. He'll teach you how to be a good steward of everything, because that's really all that we are. See, when he told us in the garden, go and have dominion over everything, we thought we were in control. He said, no, you're just a steward. I'm going to teach you how to use it properly. It still belongs to me. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to God. I just want to teach you how to use it correctly. See, told you last week, I'm going to tell you again, he put a law in the universe called gravity. I don't believe in gravity. Well, good luck. Good luck with that. You better make sure you're on God's side. And if you learn to walk with him, you'll be in harmony with the laws of nature. You'll be in harmony with the laws of physics. You'll be in harmony with, you know, people say, well, science is the God and the Bible's just old stories. No. Real science will lead you right back to here. If it's true science, it'll lead you here. Half the stuff they call science today is theory, made up stuff that is not science. I know, because the wisest men that we've ever and women that we've ever had on this planet who are scientists believe in God and have believed in God. Why? Because there's all these laws and you don't break them, they break you. So what you got to do is get on God's side of things. Jesus came to bring us into harmony with the laws of nature and God. And we need to be on the Lord's side. If we are, when the hail pours down, it'll be upon our enemies. It won't be on us. When the lightning gleams and blazes and burns, it won't come close to the heart that rests in the cross of God. Might take your house out or your pump, right, Frank? Frank had his pump taken out by lightning a few weeks ago. But it didn't touch him. But it didn't touch him. See, what I'm really trying to say to you is this. Only righteousness and honesty and truth is eternal. If you don't live for God, you may get away with some things for a little while. But all of heaven and nature is against you. That's why God tries to get us to do the right things with our body, because he's not mocked and nature's not mocked and the creation's not mocked. You're going to reap what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, thank God, you're going to reap of the Spirit. What I'm trying to tell you is this whole creation is against doing wrong and against doing evil. That's why you can't do wrong and do evil and get away with it. It'll come after you. I know. I used to say when I was young, I said, man, I'll eat all the drugs and drink all the alcohol I want to. And God said, yeah, and you'll die a miserable death. Why? Because you can't do evil and get away with it. The whole creation's set against it. No peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace. See, your heart, your mind, your body, and everything about you, you'll pay a price. The ungodly, the Bible said, are like the chaff. That's that little thin shell on a grain of wheat that when the wind and the storms come, just blows it away. Only righteousness and honesty goes through the weather without getting wet. Only the truth can put out to sea in any weather. You know me, those of you that know me, that's why I love to study history so much, and particularly the history of our country. Because it don't matter how many weapons we have, it doesn't matter how strong we think we are, it doesn't matter what we plan and how we go against the enemy. God can just spin it all around in a moment. And most time uses weather to do it. You know, we have a saying that we should have. I'm going to go and do such as such, Lord willing. We've got another one that means the same thing. We say it all the time and we don't realize we're saying the same thing. Weather permitting. They're the same thing. Why? Because they're in the hand of God. That's why. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back to the platform, if you would. If you're not on God's side, I got some bad news for you. You're not going to be done with hailstones yet. We're in the book of Joshua, way back toward the beginning of the Bible. You want one of the last things God's talking about doing to this creation before it's over? Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. By this time in Scripture, there's one world government. The Antichrist is in control. People are getting their heads cut off because they won't take the mark of the beast. I need to preach on that a while, because some of you scared to death stuff you don't need to be scared to death of. After all that, this is what happens. There was noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. I heard some preacher saying the other day that America was Babylon. I got news for you. The whole world is Babylon. It ain't just America. The whole world is Babylon, and God is coming to deal with it in the end. It said, then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and great hail fell from heaven upon men, and each hailstone about the weight of a talent. That's about a ton. I mean, we're talking big hailstones. Men blasphemed God because of all the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. Hailstones. Hailstones. He started out at the beginning with hailstones. He's going to use hailstones in the end. You said, we got atomic bombs. I don't care. God's got hailstones. Do you hear what God's saying to you? Do you hear how great and mighty and awesome He is and how you need to be on His side and walking with Him? You don't have to worry about anything else if you seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. Amen, Randy? All right, you better say amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before You. There's no place we would rather be. No place we would rather be than in the house of the Lord. Father God, we thank You, Lord, that we can freely, freely worship You. Lest we forget, just a few months ago, Lord, we were unable to worship You as a congregation, as a body of believers. Father God, help us not take for granted this time of hour, this time of day where we can worship You and honor You. You are worthy of our praise. You are so worthy. We honor You, Father God, this time. Oh, Father God, we sing out to You. Our souls cry out to You. You are worthy. You are so worthy. Heavenly Father, just pour out Your Spirit, as this song says. Will You pour out Your Spirit on us, Father God? Our souls thirst for You. We hunger for You, Father God. Father God, we're grateful that You are in control. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
But we need to decide right now, are we on Your side? Amen. Or are we running against You, Father God? Are we for You or are we against You? See, no decision at all, Father God, is we're running against You if we're not committing to You. We're not living for You. If we're not doing that, we're running against You. We're doing war with You. Father God, we're grateful that You use snowflakes and raindrops and hailstones to accomplish Your will, to do battle for us when we need for You to do battle. Father God, there's some right now. They need that snowflake and raindrop and that hailstone to come in right now. They're doing battles, Father God. They can't fight themselves. Father, we come in prayer, Father God, for them. We do battle for them as well. Father, will You hear their cry? They're crying out to You. They need for You to go battle for them. And Father God, You have laid on my heart. Father God, if there's a person here in our midst that's contemplating taking their life,
Lord Jesus,
oh, Father God, would You love on them? Will You put someone side by side with them to strengthen them?
Encourage them to
Father God, fear has overgripped their mind and seized it. They have listened too long and too often to the whisper of Satan in their ear to end their life. Father God, will You speak to them? Let them not be blind to Your love for them. You love with them an everlasting love.
Yes.
They are worthy to live, Father God. Open their hearts, Father God, to You. Will You come in and like a rushing wind? Father God, just be with us as we depart this building. May we live out what You have set before us in Your word. Help us to honor You in everything we say and do, Father God. Oh, Father God, make us a mighty army. Make us a mighty warrior for You. Holy Spirit, will You come and pour over us right now? Empower us to do what You have set us to do. Come and live in us, breathe in us, Father God. Oh, Father God, help us not to be silent any longer for You. Oh, Father God, help us to love people with compassion and understanding like You loved us when we were Your enemy, Father God. You still loved us. Help us to love people that way, Father God. Father, just go with us now. We thank You for this time to celebrate with You, to worship You. Thank You, Father God. Amen.